she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved my
good morning to you. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with your host, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Boomer Sooner, everybody.
JP, a.k.a. Snuggles.
I'm here.
And me, Sybil. We're here every Saturday morning, taking your phone calls, 877-881-1053, and answering your Autoflex Leasing fan texts at 43733. And as always, if you're looking for a new car or a certified pre-owned vehicle, you should call Autoflex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. As always, autoflex.com. You can go there and see all of those great pre-owned cars that Sybil just mentioned. You can also go online and set up a test drive, which is a really convenient way to shop for cars. Here's how it works. Click on Set Up a Test Drive. Tell us what cars you want to drive. We'll have them lined up side by side for you so you can drive one, two, three, maybe even four at the same time. A Ford, a Chevrolet, a Mazda, and a Lexus, say. Sybil, that's what you did.
It is. And that actually reminds me, my friend, I told you guys about my friend, Chef Blythe Beck, who has that new restaurant, Pink Magnolia. Her mom, I got to meet her last night, and she said to me, thank you so much for telling me about Autoflex. She goes, I went in, they lined up five cars. They all had the AC on and ready to go. She goes, I only test drove three because that's all I was interested in. She goes, and then I did the paperwork in like 15 minutes and I expected them to say, okay, well, we're going to wait for your check to go through and then we'll give you your car. She goes, no, I got my car that night. She was like,
we're a trusting group.
Yes. She said it was the easiest thing I've ever done. And she was thanking me. I was like, thank David and Tammy. Like, that's Autoflex. That's what they do all day. And she goes, I don't know who you know or what you did. And I was like, no, that's what they do with everybody. That's the experience you'll get at Autoflex.
And what was the restaurant one more time?
Pink Magnolia.
Pink Magnolia.
Yes.
Okay, that should be worth a free meal, right?
Probably so, yes. I bet you she'll do something for you.
Now everybody's going to be going into a restaurant telling her that they're you.
Right.
Yeah, hi. My name's David. I'm hungry.
So you can also follow along with all the stories we talk about at autoflex.com. Just click on the Facebook page. Coming up a little bit later, we're gonna get into some smells you should look out for because your car might be sick if you smell these things.
Skin said he usually blames it on his dog.
Aw. Poor dogs.
Poor dogs.
But first, let's talk about the Volkswagen story.
You know, there's a million different...
You would think there'd be enough.
Right?
Already. It's been all over the news. But yeah. There's more. There's
well,
more.
Well, here's the thing. It's not just the people that drive the cars that are affected. We talked about this, but there is a city in Mexico, there's a whole state in Mexico that is going to be devastated by the revelations of Volkswagen that they cheated. And here's why. It's the Pueblo state, the city of Pueblo, and it's where they build Volkswagens. In fact, they build about 20% of the vehicles that come into the United States. So it's a huge amount of vehicles that they build in Puebla. And the populace there, a lot of them, 700 of them, work for Volkswagen. And so there are 700 people down there that don't know if they're going to get laid off. They have already stopped the third shift. They've told those guys to stay home. They've told everyone that has vacation time coming, go ahead and take it now. And so the people of Puebla are darned worried. Here's how far it reaches. There is about 70,000 direct or indirect jobs directly related to the Volkswagen manufacturing plant in Puebla. So, it amounts to 25% of the gross domestic product of the entire state. So it's a huge, huge thing. And we think about, well, you know, if you own a Volkswagen, your resale may get hurt. And if you're a Volkswagen dealer, certainly you don't like this kind of publicity. But it's going to markedly affect these people in Puebla,
their
Mexico.
Jobs.
Yeah, their jobs.
Like, there's a street that leading into the Volkswagen plant that goes through Puebla, and they've named it Via Volkswagen.
Oh.
And it's a restaurant-lined street where everybody eats, you know, all the workers going in and out. So it will even affect all of these other jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, the people that own the restaurants and the people that own the convenience stores and all of that will all be negatively affected. And they have, you know, Mexico and Volkswagen have gotten along since 1962. That's when they started building Volkswagens down there. So many generations of Volkswagens have come from Mexico. In fact, all of the ones from Mexico pretty well come to the United States. So it's the largest plant that Volkswagen has outside of Hamburg, Germany, where they build the majority of them.
I'm not going to say that Volkswagen is a bad brand or bad car overall. This is just a really big stick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, it really is a thorn in my side because they totally cheated knowingly. It's one thing to have a recall. You build something. Maybe you bought a part from a parts manufacturer that was substandard. You didn't know
mm-hmm.
until there was extra wear and tear on it. This was on purpose. This is a computer program. It's a cheat.
Yeah.
And somebody said that it might be the doings of one rogue engineer. I don't know. That guy just want to be, did he want to be, get all the credit for building or coming up with the cleanest diesel that got the best fuel economy and mm-hmm. ran the best?
Okay, so right now Texas has joined in with a lot of other states in suing Volkswagen. Attorney General Ken Paxton said that Volkswagen deceived the buyers of the cars, but more importantly, they caused additional pollution in the state of Texas. So there are a number of other states that have sued, and there's even a number of counties that have sued. Harris County, for one, has sued Volkswagen over the additional pollution, up to 40 times the amount of pollution that was allowable from these cars. Texas is seeking fines from $50 to $25,000 per vehicle per day for the 32,000 Volkswagens that are affected by this.
32,000 in Texas?
In Texas.
There's 482,000 Volkswagen and Audi models that were sold in the United States with that software.
Yeah.
I saw half a million of these cars polluting.
I saw a press release this week that said that Dallas wasn't going to sue because the state of Texas is suing. So they're going to just let them handle it.
Harris County didn't want to be left out. So they're suing on their own. Travis County is also Austin.
Mm-hmm.
So, and finally, the last of the Volkswagen story, and then we'll let this thing rest. Consumer Reports has now tested the Volkswagen models that are affected with the 1.8-liter turbo. And they have found that, guess what, when the pollution equipment works, they don't get near as good a gas mileage, nor do they run as well. So we sort of knew that was going to happen because that's been one of the things that's been difficult for engineering people to get cars to run really well and support all the smog devices that are necessary to meet the EPA standards. Well, Volkswagen, like everyone else, if the car is polluted, if its equipment is running properly, it's not going to run as well. It's not going to get as good a gas mileage. It loses about 8%. If you looked at a 2011 Jetta, which is what they tested, a Jetta Sportwagon TDI, it loses about 8% of the mileage that it should get. And the 0 to 60 time dips from 9.9 seconds to 10.5 seconds. Not much on the 0 to 60. I don't think that affects anybody. But the 8% decline in fuel economy does. And they tested also a 2015 Jetta TDI with the same equipment on it that it should have and made the equipment work. And that gas mileage dropped 5.7%.
Here's the thing.
It's a negative all the way around.
Well, that 5.7% is 3 miles per gallon. Okay, and the difference in acceleration was 0.1 second. Was that worth it? Was that worth it?
Well, they wouldn't have produced as good a driving car, and they couldn't have advertised it as the green machine. That's the thing.
Yeah, one of our AutoFlex Leasing fan texters, Tovash, says, so explain exactly what they did.
Okay. Here's what they did, Tovash. They put software in the car that would measure when the car was plugged in to the pollution testing stations that you have your car tested at every year. So when they plugged it into the station to test the emissions from the car, the emissions equipment would come on. And when they unplugged it, the emissions equipment go away. So the car was polluting at 40 times the allowable level, but it did run good and it got great gas mileage.
And it gave you a false reading.
And made us all think that we could just suck the air right out of a tailpipe of a Jetta. But no, we can't.
The sad thing is it's, you know, some higher ups who made this decision. And then all, like we talked about just a second ago, all these people are being affected by it. The drivers and the people who work at the dealerships and so many people who had nothing to do with it and probably didn't even know what was going on.
So the president of Volkswagen US has already stated that it was some rogue engineers that did this. Mm-hmm. Everyone that believes that, please clap your hands really loud, and we'll all go to fairyland or something.
I mean, who knows? But anyway, they got found out. It got figured out. I guess they thought they'd be long gone before that was figured out. Mm-hmm. Nobody was ever going to test anything, especially your competitor. That's who you need to work. Your competitor's going to try to figure out how you're doing something they can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll test it and to retest it because they won't believe you're actually able to do it, and then they'll figure it out.
I mean, hello.
People are sneaky.
Sneaky.
Always trying to pull a fast one.
Well, I think it was the California air quality people that actually discovered it, and I don't know that it wasn't by accident. I think it was by accident, but they did discover it, and once it was out of the bag, then it was too sad and too bad. Volkswagen hasn't done a good job. Well, obviously the president of Volkswagen resigned, but they certainly haven't done a good job of addressing this. California has given them till November 1st to come up with a foolproof, this is the cure, and they have not done that yet. So we'll see what happens.
All right. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Boomer Sooner.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive on Texas OU Weekend with your host, David Blessingame, Tammy Pickard, Snuggles, and me, Sybil. Phone number 877-881-1053 or send us your AutoFlex Leasing fan text at 43733. And as always, you can call AutoFlex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. 888-234-1234 out of the area. As always, AutoFlex.com, where you can get a free appraisal for your trade-in. It's a Black Book appraisal right there at AutoFlex.com. Also, if you'd like to follow along with any of the stories we're doing today, or if you're wanting to look into some deeper news about the automotive business or see some pretty cool videos, you can go to AutoFlex's Facebook page and like us, and all of the stories that we're doing on the air, plus some, again, pretty cool videos are there at AutoFlex.com on our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. I love the headline of this story. Seven strange smells that might mean your car is sick.
Yeah, you know, when your car gets sick, it's like when you get sick.
Right.
It emits strange odors.
Oh.
So, here's the thing. When you smell something in your car, you start your car and you smell it, it comes out of the AC vents, no matter what, it's a problem. It shouldn't do that. So immediately know that you need to localize and try to figure out what's wrong with it, or at least get it to a mechanic that's smart enough to know what happens when you're smelling like rotten eggs. Mm. If you're smelling rotten eggs, it means that more than likely you have a problem with your exhaust system. And it does smell exactly like rotten eggs.
Yeah.
And what,
sulfur.
Exactly. And that comes from your catalytic converter on your car. All cars have them. And if you ignore that, the catalytic converter will do a meltdown, which means that it sort of collapses on itself inside and blocks the exhaust, causing back pressure to your engine, possibly warping valves and killing your car's engine. It's a big deal. If you smell rotten eggs, get it to a shop. Burning carpet. Now, for those of you all who have never smelled burning carpet, I know this is a little tough, but it smells sort of musty and burned at the same time. It means you need to have your brakes checked if you're smelling burning carpet. Sweet syrupy smell. And this, a lot of people don't know, antifreeze has a very sweet smelling, it's got a very sweet smell to it. That's why dogs end up drinking it sometimes.
Aww.
Because, yeah. And it's bad for them, it kills them. But it tastes and smells very sweet. Anyway, if you smell that.
Killed her husband on Snapped with it too.
Yeah. Okay. If you smell that sweet syrupy smell, check your antifreeze, your engine coolant. Right, burned rubber, that means that you've got some drive belts around your engine area or a hose that is rubbing on something. Maybe a pulley's rubbing on it. Maybe the drive belts are worn out, but they smell like burned rubber when they do. Hot oil. This is a biggie. If you have an oil leak and it's dripping on your exhaust system, you will smell that hot oil. You can check your garage floor for oil spots while the car is parked. Good way to find it. Gasoline. You should not smell gasoline in modern cars. If you do, you more than likely have a gas leak somewhere in your fuel system. Get it to a mechanic. And finally, the musty gym locker smell. And let's talk about this a little bit.
If you haven't left your gym bag in the car, then you need to keep looking.
Okay, so cars with air conditioning systems have something called an evaporator, and the evaporator is what the air flows over to be cooled. Here's how this works. if that water, the condensation that comes off that evaporator, pools somewhere in your AC system, it will mold and mildew. And you get this really strong mildewy smell when you kick your car on, AC starts blowing, you get mildew in the face out of your AC vents. One of our customers has this right now. I talked to her on the phone last night. She's got a 2014 Cadillac ATS, and she is getting this mildew smell from her AC vents. I went online after I spoke to her last night. It is not just her car. There's a bunch of Cadillac ATSs that have the same problem. So we've got to get with the folks at Cadillac and see that they get this corrected, because the car is still in warranty. For one thing, it's a 14. Mm-hmm. And secondly, it's a problem that's endemic to a whole bunch of cars. So anyway, I've got the musty gym locker smell thing down pat. I talked for about 20 minutes to a customer that actually has it on her car last night. So if you have that musty gym locker smell, know that it's more than likely coming from your AC, and you need to get it checked.
My husband's car smells like that, too. And when I get in, he'll say, oh, it's just because I was playing tennis this morning. I think the sweat is still in here. But well, no, it's not. I mean, how would sweat last for 6 hours later?
I don't want to comment on any of that. Any of it.
Personal hygiene issues.
Yeah, totally so maybe different. Maybe it's the AC thing.
Yeah, it very well could be. If it is, here's the other thing. Anytime you have a problem with your car like this, go online, Google it, because there are user forums for every kind of car out there, and they get online and talk about this kind of thing. It can give you ammunition to deal with, say, the manufacturer. If you've got a warranty problem, they may not have acknowledged it yet, or they may not have a good cure for it yet. But if you've got the evidence that, you know, several thousand other people have the same problem, then it gives you a lot of information to go to battle with.
You might want to hope you have some MBI, though, mechanical breakdown insurance, if you got to take your car in, get those things fixed.
David?
Yeah, I was reading a fan text. Hey, y'all. Just letting you know, I got my transmission fixed on my Impala. It runs like a gym now. No worries. Thanks to Sybil and David for being ready to help me out. I don't know who that is. It's one of our listeners.
That's what we're here for every Saturday morning. So if you have a question, you can fan text it to us at 43733.
Okay, finally, you know, if you do have the strange smells from your car, it can be a mechanical breakdown. If you are driving a car and it is out of warranty, you should have a mechanical breakdown protection insurance policy for your car. If you don't, you're subject to spend a whole lot of money fixing something that the MBI could take care of for just a little bit of your money up front. So if you've got a car that's leaving warranty, call and find someone. You can buy a warranty from Autoflex. We sell them. Car dealers sell them. Even insurance companies sell them. You can buy a policy to cover you. So when you have some of these strange smells coming out of your car, it won't cost you a fortune to get it fixed.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's do some tire talk, shall we?
Yeah, let's start on this. Here's the thing. Everyone drives on tires, and people know very, very little about tires. I learned about tires when I actually engaged a speaker to come to a meeting one time, and the guy lived and breathed tires. He was so excited about tires. He loved tires, and I didn't realize there was so much to them. There's a lot to tires. There's different kinds of tires. You have to know which kind your car needs before you replace your tires. You have to know what the load range is. You have to know what the speed range is. You have to know what the ply is. You have to know all this stuff. So we'll talk a little bit about all of the different things that you can find out about the tires that you're replacing your tires with. First of all, figure out what's on your car. And if you want to know, there is a sticker on your door jamb that gives the size of the tires that the car should have and also the inflation and the types of tires that it should have. So that's on your door post on your driver's side. You can look right there, and it won't give you a particular brand, but it will give you all of the particulars to the tires that you have on your car. Now, there are all-season tires, which means they work as good in the winter, or almost as good in the winter, as they do in the summer, because they are sort of set up to handle snow and ice. We don't have a lot of that here, so we don't really need winter tires or all-season tires. Speed ratings. Speed ratings can be, they're a letter that is on the tire, and they can rate anywhere from 110 miles an hour to 150 miles an hour plus. So you need to know what type of tire, what speed rating your car is rated for before you go out and buy tires. And you can find that on the tire sidewall. By the way, at Autoflex.com's Facebook page, this whole story is there along with examples of the side of a tire, where to look for this, where to look for that, all that neat stuff.
That could be really helpful because I learned a lot reading this story.
Yeah, most people don't know that there's so much to tires. And here's the thing. Your life depends on your tires.
I know. That's why I say all the time people shouldn't be riding around on slicks that are going to be hydroplaning in the rain. You know, we're fixing to hit some weather again.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of get the rainy season around winter and the ice and so forth. So just be prepared in advance.
Okay. So treadwear. Let's talk about treadwear for a second. You should have a minimum of a 16th of an inch treadwear. And if you want to find out how much that is, the easiest way is to use the penny trick. Take a penny and with Lincoln's head pointed toward the tire, sink the penny into the tread. If you can see anything above Lincoln's head, the top of his head, then your tires are too slick. They're too worn. That's the easiest way. On the treadwear, treadwear is graded 100, 200, 300, like that, 300 being better than 100. So that's going to give you how fast this tire is supposed to wear out. The other thing you have to look for is on performance tires that are rated for higher speeds and harder driving actually wear faster than like an all-weather tire does. So a couple of cars that come to mind, Porsche 911, they'll eat up a set of back tires in about 7,000 or 8,000 miles traditionally because those tires are softer and they are the drive tires. They give traction and temperature rating on the sidewalls of tires also, A being the best and C or triple C being the worst for traction and temperature. There is a load index on the sidewall of the tire. It's rated 94 would be, it would be rated for 1,477 pounds as an example. So the load rating is listed there. Also, the speed rating is listed on the side of the tire. And speed ratings run from S, which is 112 miles an hour, or T, which is 118 miles an hour, up the scale of letters, H is 130, V is 149, ZR rated is 149 plus, W is 168 miles an hour, and Y rated tires are rated up to 186 miles per hour. Now,
of course, this does not apply to using these cars on the highway. It doesn't work.
No, no, no. You can't drive 186, please. So anyway, you can look at the traction and temperature scores. You can look at the tread wear ratings. You can look at the speed ratings on the side of the tires that you're considering, and you will be able to find out what works on your car, first of all, by looking at your door pillar, your B pillar. Oh, that's an interesting thing, B pillar. cars have three pillars mostly. A pillar is where the windshield is, B pillar is where the rear door and the front doors meet, and the C pillar is where the back door closes. Those are the three pillars.
Ah.
So if you look on your B pillar, you'll find out what your tire rating should be. Great Autoflex Leasing fan text, nitrogen or air? Nitrogen is what people sell you to make money. If you inflate your tires with nitrogen, they will get slightly better mileage probably.
Well,
they don't heat up as much.
Yeah.
But the difference is just micro. It's just minimal. If it were my tire, I would not spend the money to put nitrogen in it. It's a great selling point for if you're selling someone something, you can tell them truthfully, tires won't get quite as hot. But if you keep them properly inflated, they don't get quite as hot.
I'd like to know if anybody has experienced the difference that could tell us, you know, what do they notice? Does it not leak out? Is it easier to keep it at the normal? Because would the nitrogen be less volatile with the temperatures where the tire pressure wouldn't change?
It doesn't change as much.
Outside?
Yeah, it's just not as volatile as air is.
So that might be nice in order to not set off your
tire pressure monitors.
Tire pressure monitor.
Yeah.
That light comes, but there's a light on my dash that it bothers me.
Yeah.
I can't just drive around with a tire.
Same here.
Rolling on a flat tire. Oh, by the way, think about those lights. If it's yellow, it's a warning light. If it's red, you better get to the service station or your service department.
Okay,
fast.
We've got the greatest listeners in the world. Don't forget to mention when to check the air pressure in your tire. You never check the air pressure in your tire after the car has been driven more than a mile or so.
Oh.
Because they warm up and it increases the air pressure in the tires.
Oh.
So you check the air pressure in your tires when your tires are cold. And you want to fill them to the recommended air pressure on the tire to be driven on your car, or the recommendations on your B pillar of your car, so that you've got the right pressure in there. The other thing is, if you've got a spare, air it up. In fact, air it up a little more.
Certainly,
you can
before a
you
trip.
Can fill it to the maximum, because it's going to sit back there, and slowly but surely, air will leak from your spare just through the material. So you overinflate your spare a little bit so that you make sure it's a good spare.
That's a really good point. Autoflex Leasing Fan Texter, nitrogen doesn't leak out of the tire.
It doesn't leak as much. It doesn't.
Okay, it's more dense than oxygen and does not leak as quickly.
Yeah, it's true. It's absolutely true. Again, I think the difference in the tire wear, if you keep your tires properly inflated, and the difference in gas mileage, is not going to be appreciable.
So here it is. One texter, one Autoflex Leasing Fan texter says, I had it in my 2010 Mustang GT. Absolutely no difference. Another Autoflex Leasing Fan texter says, with my nitrogen, I don't have to fill up with air near as often, and it doesn't change the PSI or the tire pressure with the weather.
Well, and that's the other thing.
Temperature.
When the temperature cools down, your tires will have less pressure in them because the air is cooler. And so it's more dense.
Thinner, right.
And if you've got tire pressure monitors, they're going to go off and show you that you need to add air to your tires once the temperature starts to drop.
Does the air get thicker or thinner when it's cold? Like on Mars, it was thin air, right? In the Martian.
Has nothing to do with temperature.
Oh.
All right.
That doesn't.
We got to take a quick break and do some Googling, but we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing, with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Snuggles, who's fist pumping to this song, and me, I'm Sybil. Phone number 877-881-1053, or send us your Autoflex Leasing fan text at 43733. And as always, if you're looking for your next vehicle, you should call Autoflex. Two locations in the Metroplex to help you out. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, long distance. And as always, autoflex.com, where you can see all of our great pre-owned cars. And the opportunities are just limitless.
Mm-hmm.
We have everything from sports cars to SUVs to trucks to CUVs. And you can purchase those vehicles, you can lease those vehicles, or you could flex buy those vehicles if you wanted to get the best of both worlds. Go ahead.
Lots of Autoflex Leasing fan texts about tires, and we're going to get to those. But first, we talked in our earlier segment about smells that you should look for in your car and what they could possibly mean. And this fella says, I know that a standard transmission isn't all that common anymore, but don't forget the burned popcorn / caramel smell is usually from a failing clutch.
That's exactly right. And there's nothing that smells like a failing clutch other than a failing clutch. You can really, I mean, instantly you know what it is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, if you've ever had one fail.
Interesting.
Some of these fan textures are hilarious. Don't forget to change out your summer air with winter air. That's always good. Okay. And another fan texter comments that
smart listeners.
Yeah, we do. Some air pressure changes are due to moisture in the air. Pure nitrogen doesn't maintain moisture. It's not subject to changes because of moisture. That is correct. But the changes in air pressure due to moisture are absolutely infinitesimal. Mainly temperature that causes those differences. Anyway, here's one that's interesting, though. My son bought a brand new 2015 Mustang. The brakes went out at 1,700 miles. Have you heard about the problem? You know, we have a lot of listeners out there. I don't know that we have heard about that problem. I haven't, but some of our listeners may have. So if you could call in or text in if you've heard about the Mustang brake problem.
And while we're talking Mustang, this person says, would I get better value out of a Mustang or a Challenger as far as fuel efficiency and dependability?
You got to call one of the offices, because that requires the FlexLease computer system. We can tell you, because we've got all of that information right there at our fingertips, but I don't have access to that on the air. Sorry, but call one of the offices, 817 or 972-234-1234.
I have a spreadsheet that I created to be able to show people, especially back in 2008, 2009, when gas prices were out of control and people were trying to save money. That was part of where we were calculating their savings. So if they were going to a vehicle that got better fuel economy, I would plug in what they were currently getting versus what they would be getting based on their miles. And then you could see how much more or less the car was going to cost you just in fuel. Mm-hmm. Pretty interesting. So, yeah, we all have that available to us. And, of course, we have to look up the fuel economy. And then I like to check with my technicians on reliability and look up all these things. But other than this issue with the Ford Mustang brakes.
Yeah, that's pretty different.
I think you can't go very wrong. And I know we have a huge, this doesn't affect reliability or dependability, but we have a huge number of requests for Dodge Challengers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pre-owned for people to purchase or do a flex buy or a pre-owned lease. A lot.
Well, so, we as a direct result, we sell and lease a lot of Dodge Challengers. Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, they're rolling in now. You're certainly welcome. We're glad we could help you out with your girlfriend. Appreciate that. Some scientific information.
We have some smart listeners.
Yes, we do. Regular air is 75% nitrogen. Filling your tires with pure N2 only changes 25% of the fill composition. Scientifically, it has been proven that it has no appreciable effect. Any difference is attributable to the placebo effect. Hmm. Well, there you have it.
Very sounds like scientists and engineers might be tuning in to, of course, they were tuning in for some sports. So let's say Boomer Sooner.
Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. I too have heard of the brake problem. It is caused by a young person riding the brakes. Well, could be.
My grandmother, she drove her car with the left foot on the brake and the right foot on the gas. It was a jolting experience.
Yeah, sounds like it.
With her.
We were doing a little tire talk, and if you missed it, you can go to autoflex.com, click on the Facebook page, and find out what all those numbers mean. But, David, you wanted to mention the importance of having your tires properly inflated.
Yeah, this is a biggie, because if you do not inflate your tires properly, the good thing is you'll get a lot worse gas mileage. The bad thing is they'll overheat and could explode. And
yikes.
That's a real problem. So having underinflated tires can affect your negatively affect your gas mileage, but it can negatively affect your whole life if you let one blow up. And they get really, really hot if they're underinflated and being driven at highway speed. I just wanted to mention that. Okay. Lots of new stuff coming out in 16. It's pretty crazy how much the technology has done just in the last 10 years to improve our life and improve the gas mileage and the safety of the cars that we drive. First of all, carbon fiber. That's the new thing. Everyone is adding carbon fiber to their cars. Why? It's terribly strong and it weighs a lot less than steel or aluminum. So you're seeing manufacturers include it in their pillars of their cars where they need the additional strength. It gives them strength without weight. You're seeing, like on the new Cadillacs that are coming out, there's a couple of models. They're going to have hoods and spoilers built out of carbon fiber just because it saves a lot of weight in the car. You're going to see that BMW is using a lot. General Motors is now joining steel and aluminum together, which is another new wrinkle. They figured out a good way to do this, and that allows them to build strong panels that are much, much lighter than they used to be. The new warning systems that are coming out are just almost science fiction, like forward collision warning, automatic emergency braking, lane departure warning, adaptive cruise control, pedestrian protection. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. All of the changes that you're going to see, starting with some of these 2016 model cars, like the Volvo, the new XC90, it's going to have what they call intersection braking, which means that if you start to turn left in front of somebody, it sees them, measures the distance and the speed, and puts your brakes on.
Yay, yeah. Dummy proof.
It should be. The other thing Volvo did is a little different. They put little tiny shock absorbers underneath the seats of the car so that if you're in an accident that the car goes up in the air and comes down, or you run off a bridge or whatever, it can prevent you from having severe back and neck injuries.
Have you ever driven a bus or sat in the bus driver's seat? They're on these springs.
Oh, yes.
Because that's a pretty rough ride. Well, I remember when the Isuzu Trooper came out. The seats were on springs like that. So when you drove, do you remember
right.
that?
Right, yeah, yeah.
When you drove it, it was, you know.
It
like
bouncy.
You were on safari.
It was bouncy, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Doing this a long time.
There's a number of cars now that are coming out with parking technology. And it's not just a rear-facing camera, which it makes it a lot easier to back into a spot, but it's actually cars that will park themselves. So you can get in front of a spot and tell it to park, and it will park all by itself. There's even a couple of cars coming out that will have iPad controls, and you can get out of the car and drive it in with your iPad and park it.
Love that. So yeah. You don't have to search for a good spot anymore.
Really tight spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now Audi's got technology they're working on where the car will park itself. You can get out of the car, leave it at North Park, and tell it to go find a parking space. And it will go find a parking space and park itself. They don't have the bring it back technology yet. They're
so
working on that.
Good luck.
They're
finding
working
your
on
car
finding
your car.
No, they've got a locator on the car. The new Lexus, a couple of models of the new Lexus, have a built-in locator so that you can, with your smartphone, find your car in a crowded parking lot.
Wow.
After a ball game or whatever, that's invaluable.
I need that just for the parking garage here.
Yeah.
I lose my car every single day coming out of work. I know, and I'm not even blonde.
So
what?
All of this technology, all of this, for those of you all who don't know, Tammy is blonde.
She is.
All of this technology is coming so fast, and there's a professor from Stanford that has sort of stood everyone on their ear because he said, you know, these cars are going to have to make all these choices. What if the choices aren't good ones? Like, what if the car is designed not to run into a crowd of people, but designed to run into a small object instead because it would cause less damage, avoid hurting the people in the crowd,
mm-hmm.
and maybe not injure the driver? But what if that small object is a baby carriage?
Yeah.
So
well, as long as there's no baby in it, it's all fine.
Well, but, yeah.
No, I know. This
so,
is terrible.
It is terrible. It's really interesting. This guy's name is Chris Gerdes, and he has now had the head of every automotive manufacturing company you can name go to meet him at his laboratory in California. He's a huge race fan. He loves race. In fact, he's working on getting his racing car driver's license. So
he's been involved in cars since
his whole life.
He loves
yeah.
them.
He loves cars. He loves to drive fast, all that neat stuff. But he's the first guy that really has done a lot of research on what kind of choices these automated cars
ethical
have to make.
Ethical choices made by robots.
Exactly.
Yeah. He was really into Isaac Asimov's books back from the mid-century.
iRobot.
Right.
Yeah.
It's you know, and the first rule of robots is you can't hurt a human.
Or through an action, cause one to be hurt.
Through an action, cause
right.
one to be hurt.
What's the second rule?
What?
Of robotics.
You tell me.
The second rule of robotics is a robot must obey a human unless it violates rule number one. And the third rule is a robot must protect its own existence as long as the protection doesn't conflict with rule one or rule two. And so he's actually using that thought line to work on the protection that automated cars will give drivers and pedestrians. And it's really, really, it's cutting edge stuff. Because he is working on algorithms that will help a car make the right decision when it's faced with one of those impossible problems. Like, do you have a wreck, or do you avoid the people, or do you have a little wreck, or do you have a big wreck? You know, it's really, really interesting. And when he first started this, he said, you know, the automated cars are supposed to save 33,000 lives a year. That's going to be a lot, right? And then he said, is that really all we want? Or do we really want to make sure that we save as many people as possible? And so that's what has caused all of his research and work.
Artificial intelligence.
It's really interesting.
Yes.
They've even got a test DeLorean that they've named Marty, by the way.
Nice. All
yeah.
right.
And I did see a DeLorean on the street last week. I saw a DeLorean driving down LBJ, and it had Living the Dream on the door, on the driver's door.
That's fun.
Yeah.
And Michael J. Fox was on a skateboard right behind it.
Yeah. You know, okay, first of all, if you haven't driven one of those cars, they are not great cars to drive. And the Gullwing doors, which we'll talk about next week, the Gullwing doors don't stay up very long. The shocks to the Gullwings wear out. So those doors weigh a ton.
Mm.
They're stainless steel. Yeah. Anyway.
We got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Snuggles, and me, Sybil. Everybody's dancing in the studio, and I love it. Phone number 877-881-1053, or send us your AutoFlex Leasing fan text at 43733. And as always, you should call AutoFlex. They are open today. The numbers are?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. As always, AutoFlex.com, where you can apply for a lease or a loan online. Save yourself a lot of time and trouble. We'll have all that done when you get there, then just pick out the right car. If you tell us what kind of car you want to drive, we'll have it pulled up, air conditioning on, be ready for you to go when you get there.
Like this AutoFlex Leasing fan texter might want to try these two cars. He says, which is the best buy, a 2016 Chevy or Tundra, and should I go new or used? That's from Santi.
Okay, the Tundra costs more and resells for more. If I were going to buy one used, I would probably still get a Tundra, but I'm really partial to Toyota because of the fact that they are just bulletproof. They don't break.
Mm-hmm.
They're both good trucks. That being said, I got no problem with the 16 Chevy. I think it's a good truck. I just like the Tundra better. That's personal.
And if you call our office today, really, those guys there, and ladies and gentlemen there, could break down the overall cost for you because there could be some substantial rebates available on one truck versus the other. That might go into play for you as well based on your budget.
Right. Yep. And we were talking about how the new Lexus has some kind of technology where it can park itself. And this person says, that'd be great if your car was stolen. It could help locate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Also, AutoFlex Leasing Fan Text, all this technology, our cars are exactly how Skynet started in Terminator. Let's keep that in mind. Secondly, AutoFlex Leasing Fan Text, I'm a truck driver, and all of our trucks, no matter who built them, Volvo, Kenworth, Peterbilt, they all have lane departure warning systems, forward warning, and even side warning systems. Even our older ones have that. So, and he
they're
sort of wonders,
that
yeah, why don't they have them on cars? It costs money.
Right.
Yeah. So
the consumers were willing to pay for it. That's when it would become popular. And as the texting and driving became more, you know, prevalent, mm-hmm. there you go.
And it's perfect that Mike Dingus and Nate Wood are here because for our final segment today, we're going to talk about cars in movies. And since you're the movie man, this is good for you.
All right. I'm ready.
Hi, gentlemen.
All right, so
he's ready for the challenge.
I'll just sit and watch. I was waiting for Tammy to talk OU trash all morning.
Oh, yeah, she's got her sooner.
Just Boomer Sooner?
I mean, there's no trash.
I can handle that. That's simple. There's no point in gloating when you're going to win by 50.
No,
I mean,
that's
we
true.
Already whooped his team last week.
Okay, so movie cars. There's so many movies that have been made with cars as central characters. Some of them a lot of fun. American Graffiti. Mm-hmm. They had some great cars in American Graffiti.
Herbie.
Some really cool.
Yeah.
The
cool,
yeah,
Herbie the Love Bug.
Yeah.
Exactly. But Back to the Future and
the DeLorean.
Yeah. What was the date that they come back on? Does anyone know?
It's
I cheated.
It's July, right?
It's October 15th. 2015?
October 21st,
dang.
2015. You were so
wow.
close, Nate. Good job,
so
buddy.
Close.
Good job.
We're supposed to have hoverboards in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, well, they've already got one, but you got to have a metal yeah. place to use it. but anyway, the DeLorean, they actually came back 30 years in the future. So that tells you that Back to the Future was made 30 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's in cool. the movie, aren't the Cubs in the World Series, Mike?
Yeah, dog.
So you got that going for you.
Oh, gosh, it's like coming true.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. 4-0 last night.
Do what?
They lost 4-0 last
yeah,
night.
Yeah.
How'd the Rangers
back
do?
Back to the Future was lying. They won 6-4 in 14 innings, Tammy.
Yeah, that
wonderful
was a
game.
Great game.
I talked about it for about 4 hours.
Might talk about that.
You're going to talk about it for about 4 hours.
Nice segue. Hey, Blues Brothers, one of my favorite movies with cars, mainly because of the scene in the mall where they were driving through the mall. they're driving. They've got all those police cars chasing them. They're driving through the mall. And Belushi looks over and goes, oh, look, the new Olds is out. Cadillac Man, Robin Williams.
Have not heard of that one.
Mm. Oh, yeah, sleazy car sales guy.
Used yeah. cars.
Oh, yeah. Used Cars, one of my favorite movies of all times.
Mm-hmm.
A Mile
Have
of Cars.
Have you not seen Used Cars?
No.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Oh, my gosh, put it on your list.
Yeah. Christine from Stephen King.
That's the one I went to when you said car movies.
1958 Plymouth Fury. Fabulous car, Christine.
Bullet.
Yeah. Oh, Bullet.
Oh, Bullet.
Best chase scene
you know,
ever.
If you type in used cars in Google, you don't get the movie right away. You get a lot of used cars.
Right.
You probably should type in movie. That'll
type
help.
In Bullet and see what happens.
Oh, Bullet, you're going to get a 1967 Mustang.
Yep.
My
green
stepdad
in color.
Actually had one of those solely because of the movie. He bought that Robert car solely from the movie.
I think he was in good company. I
yeah.
think a lot of people did that.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, Death Race 2000, that's sort of a small one. Dirty Mary, Crazy Larry.
Smokey and the Bandit.
That's the biggie. That launched a million people to buy Firebird Transams with eagles on the hood.
I'm still trying to find a Batmobile.
That'd be awesome.
You know, they won a lawsuit 2 weeks ago that the the people that, George Barris that designed the Batmobile, his folks won a lawsuit that it's patented. Nobody else can have a Batmobile except the ones that they built. They can't call it a Batmobile.
Officially.
All right.
Okay, so Smokey and the Bandit, 76 Firebird Trans Am. A lot of people bought those cars because of that. Thelma and Louise, off the cliff in a Thunderbird convertible.
Yep.
Remember that?
What are your favorite car movies? Do you have any?
I just have favorite cars in movies.
That's fine.
But it's all the generic stuff. It's the DeLorean.
Yeah.
For me, it's that one.
And
then if it's not that, I go to planes, and then I get excited about planes.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
I knew that was coming.
That's where I was going with that. It's a really good movie, though. Used Cars looks good because it's directed by Robert Zemeckis.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it was great.
Can I get the flying car from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? Is that a thing? Can I get that one?
All right.
Yeah.
If you ever saw the first Spielberg movie that he ever directed, it was all about a 1964 or 67 Dodge Dart being chased by a giant mystery trucker. And I was trying to remember the name of the movie. I can't remember it now. It was Spielberg's first directorial movie. They made it in 2 weeks. They spent less than $500,000 to make it. And it was a fabulous movie. Somebody could text in and give me the answer, maybe.
No. That's the first one I see on IMDb under director for him. There's
Duel.
Short films.
The name of it is Duel.
Yes.
Made in 71.
Thank you, Fantexters.
It's a TV movie from 71.
Smart people.
If we didn't have time to answer your questions, you can still call AutoFlex, 817 or 972-234-1234, or go online to AutoFlex.com. We'll be back next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Thank you to Snuggles, Nate Wood, Mike Dingus coming up next for David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard. I'm Sybil Summers. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Over soon. AutoFlex Leasing.